Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's broadcast of Chapter and Verse with this comment about being a remnant for God.
We've had it so good, it's all going to be taken away from us as a country because we have turned our backs on God. You are the remnant. You are the salt of the earth. And if you don't respond, I don't know who in this world will respond. If your life is more important than the rest of your countrymen, and it's more important than God's will, then I pity your soul. But if you're willing, you don't have to have any great anything. Just say, here I am.
And I'll stand up and shout.
This is Chapter and Verse Radio, the ministry of author and teacher Mike McIntosh, and currently we're surveying the Book of Revelation, which was recently recorded at the Wednesday evening Bible study at Calvary Chapel in Romoland, California. The wisdom of God is very different from that of the world. He doesn't see things as we do. The wisdom is a mystery that has perplexed the world for many generations, but the revelation of the gospel unveils those mysteries as the wisdom of God reveals and made manifest His mighty work to the saints, to His people who are called to His purpose. God is looking for a remnant that will stand strong against the onslaught of the world's depravity. Are you willing to stand? Let's join Mike now as he concludes his lesson on the letter to the church at Smyrna.
But there are a lot of Christians who say they're Christians and they carry a certificate around saying, I'm worldly, when they get around worldly friends. You got me? Okay, it's very subtle. So you could get this allegiance and have political protection, but it was then civic pride. So they did their marches in the street for pride. And they had pride parades. Because of the immoral men and the immoral women. And when that step was taken publicly, it was all over for the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire and the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. We're in the same place. They all fell. Don't let the devil lead you by your nose, pull you by your ear, put a choker chain around your neck and say, follow me. No, you don't follow anybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't need to fear the devil at all. He's a coward. He picks on the weak. And Jesus came because we're weak. So he said, I know all these works, tribulation, and your poverty, but you're rich. Did you know that he knows? Did you know Jew and Jewish comes from a contraction of the word Judah, and it means a praise unto God, that a Jew was a praise unto God. The Jewish people as a whole, Israel, was a praise to the world. And did you realize when you look at the map and you get Israel zeroed in, it's at the belly button of the planet. You got Europe on this side for you. I got to turn around because I'm, yeah, okay. You got Europe, you got Asia, you got the Americas and all that. But here's little Israel that you can walk across to these continents and connect the whole world. That little strip of land with those small numbers of people, those 12 tribes, were praises, Jews, to the glory of God. Now it's you and me. We have this mystery of godliness inside of our lives, having been born again. And now you and I are to be a praise unto God. There's a purpose for our life. And if we take that purpose and we live it, we're going to be blessed. Are we going to have a perfect life? Probably not. Are we going to have trouble? Absolutely. Are we going to have mistakes? Yep. Are people going to be unhappy with us? Oh, absolutely. They don't want anything to do with us. And you see the news, you can read the articles, and the church, and Christians, and was watching, I forget his name, he's on TV all the time. He was mocking Christians. I was flipping channels and I saw him and I stopped and they had to blank out most of his words. But he was talking about, have you ever run into those Christians that come up to you and say, you just need Jesus? That's it. And he started mocking salvation in Jesus. Now, he's a multimillionaire, and he lives in Beverly Hills and other places and has planes and jets and cars, and he has the freedom to mock God. I don't have that freedom. I mocked him for 26 years. Now, I was an old guy at 26. I has high mileage. And I don't have that privilege anymore because I don't want that privilege anymore. He's not afraid of me or you mocking him or the rich guy on TV mocking him. He's God. I fear God. I fear driving up here and I fear driving home. Holland told me the other night he got home at 11 o'clock. I got home about 10:15. And you're out there on the road, you get a flat tire, and you start fixing something, and three or four guys, high-end pot, come over, and they pull a gun and say, give me everything. I said, I've got $1.47. That's good. We wanted more. Bang. You just don't know what's going to happen. And so use our lives for the glory of God.
Amen.
Be a praise unto God, a living Jew that praises God. So Smyrna, he says, I know the blasphemy of those that imitate Jews that say they're Jews and they're not, but the synagogue is Satan. And I have to ask the question, he knows, but do we know? He knows, but do you know what he knows? We have to come to a maturity place where we stop playing games with him. He knows everything about us. You're not hiding anything. You don't have fig leaves. That's how stupid mankind became once sin entered in. Why did they sew together, which means they made work and labored to cover up their nakedness, and they didn't have to work for anything? Why did they do a fig leaf, which the fig leaf is one of the most irritating rubbing leaves you could put next to your body? I mean, that's how stupid we are as people without God. We're not firing on all eight cylinders. So Smyrna is an interesting city to study, but we don't want to take the steps they did. They got these honors from the world, but they went down, down, down. Now, when it says that you're poor, but really you're rich, in the spirit, he's talking to the church, you and I are rich. We may not have it in our purses, our pockets, our wallets, or our bank accounts, but we've got it in heaven. It's not hidden crypto, digital something. And if you're following the news the last 2 weeks, they're getting ready to push away the dollar, and it's going to be digital. We're about two steps away from the mark of the beast. Next is digital, and we're getting ready for that. They would like to do it before Biden goes out of, some of the articles say, before he leaves the presidency. We're very close to the very end. I want to be where he said in the book of Revelation. The bride has prepared herself and made herself ready. That's why we're here tonight, getting ready. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of you are, and I love it. So the Christians in Smyrna had poverty. The word that is used for their poorness, which can translate poverty, just isn't being poor. It's abject. It was used for abject poverty. They're eating bark. They're drinking dirty water. They don't have a bed to sleep in. They treated the Christians like they do all over the world. I've spent a long, long time behind the Iron Curtain, in weeks at a time, meeting with the suffering church. And I learned so many things of how weak we are. And China, Russia, Hungary, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Eastern Europe, on and on and on. And I saw people on a daily basis that I sat in a barn from 9 in the morning to almost 9 every night with my Bible open, and they wouldn't move because they're writing it all down. They didn't have Bibles. Some of them did, and they let their friends look. Some of them drove 3 hours for the Bible study. I remember nights in a house on top of a mountain in Poland. I was up in a bedroom. I said, why am I in a bedroom? Should I be down in the living room? No, you'll see. I was up in a bedroom, and the sliding door had a balcony. There were people behind me. There were people in the room, in the hallway, both ways, down the stairs, into the living room, kitchen, family room, out the back door, and around the complete house. And these people here, behind me, would tell the people on the side of the house here what I just said, and it would go in Polish all the way around that way, and it would meet in the middle on the other side of the house. Is that amazing? No lights, no Bibles. They just knew there was an American with a Bible that wanted to teach him about God's love. So on the way out, it was pitch black. I stuck my hand out. I could not see my hand. And I bumped into somebody. I said, oh, sir, excuse me, ma'am. He said, no, it's okay. I'm all right. I said, could I ask you a question? So my translator was there. And I said to him, I was going to teach one whole chapter. And after an hour and 10 minutes, I'd only gone through two verses. They were drawing stuff out of me through their prayers that I didn't even know was in those two verses. He said, no, keep going. Hour later, I've only made it through six verses. And he said, go on. That's how hungry they are. You don't see that hungry in our country. So I said, I need to ask you a question. So the translator comes up. How long did it take you to get here for this Bible study? I started about 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I walked 45 minutes to the bus stop. I waited for the bus and rode it into work for a half hour. I worked for 8 or 9 hours, caught the last bus going this way out of town, took it for 30 minutes. Then I walked up, we're talking a mountain, walked up this mountain for 45 minutes, came the last 2 hours plus to the Bible study. He started at 4 in the morning. It's getting close to midnight. Now I'll walk 45 minutes down the mountain, catch the last bus going into town for 30 minutes, and then I'll catch the last bus going out of town for 30 minutes, and then walk up my hill. And he pointed out a mountain miles away and said, see the lights on top of that hill? That's what it looks like to them over here. Well, I live like where that light would be, but an hour and a half that way. He started at 4 o'clock to come to a Bible study, 4 in the morning, worked a full day's work, and was thrilled. We've had it so good, it's all going to be taken away from us as a country because we have turned our backs on God. You are the remnant. You are the salt of the earth. And if you don't respond, I don't know who in this world will respond. If your life is more important than the rest of your countrymen, and it's more important than God's will, then I pity your soul. But if you're willing, you don't have to have any great anything. Just say, here I am. And believe me, if he'll take an idiot like me, I know he'll take you. I'm not saying you're an idiot, but I'm just saying, he'll take any of us. So Smyrna is a strange place, persecuted. Sometimes we think that no one really cares. And yet I've been in front of thousands in China back in the 70s. And I met a man, he had a scar from his chin up to his ear. And we were helping on a project to get 1 million Bibles into China. So I was with the architects of that and some security people that were Christians, and we went into Burma, into the jungles. And this man had walked 2 weeks to meet us, 2 weeks through the jungles. He had started 1,000 churches in villages throughout China. One man. I had to meet him. And when he came into that hut that was up on stilts because of the torrential rains and the cobras and the snakes that come through the neighborhood, dirt paths, basically, thatched roof. And this maybe would have held 10 people. I think there were 20 of us, 25. It was ready to tip. This man comes in. I'm 6 foot tall, so he's about here. And he was lean. And the first thing I noticed was, I sat there listening to him with the translators of things God was doing in the 1970s in China. Wow. Whoa. And then he found out I was an American. When he's finished with what he talked about, he said, could I ask that man a question? And he said, of course you can. He said, He looks at me and he says, is it true in America your young people are taking drugs? I said, well, it's very true. The last 10 years since the 60s, they're everywhere. Would you go back to America and tell them that the young people of China are praying for them? Excuse me now. Communist Chinese are getting born again. American young people are getting stoned. And they're praying for American young people. You see the imbalance? When persecution comes, the real Christians stand out. Amen. So I said, can I ask you a question? He said, any question. I said, what is this scar? What is this scar that goes from your ear down to your chin? He said, well, I was arrested in a village, and they told me I had to tell that whole village that I had led to the Lord to denounce Jesus, or I was going to jail. And he said, I can't do that. He said, you will do it. So he said, I'll get up on the box. And he told this village, they're all standing out there in the square, and he says, these soldiers want me to tell you that Jesus Christ is a lie, and he's not true, and he didn't die for your sins, and he didn't raise from the dead. But I'm here to tell you it is true, and that Jesus is the Lord, and that he did die for your sins, and you will raise from the dead if you'll give your life to him. And they took a rifle, they kicked him, they threw him to the ground, hit him with a butt of a rifle and split his face up with no stitches or any. They put him in jail. He goes to prison, actually. He leads all the prisoners and the guards after 2 or 3 months in that one wing of the jail to Jesus. When the warden finds out he's in trouble, they move him to another prison. The same thing happened to him. He led all those people, Lord, and they finally said, just get out of here. Don't bother us again. I met a guy that started 1,000 churches by himself. Why can't I do that? I'm too busy with Southern California culture, I think. Honestly. I worry about my problems. They don't have any problems because they haven't got anything. We are so out of order in our heads of what reality is. I want you to be an overcomer. In Ezekiel, this message I'm taking around America, one of the chapters, chapter 8, has a verse where the priests say, God does not see us, and he has forsaken the land. And that was the attitude in Smyrna. The Lord does see us, and he hasn't cursed the land, because I'm standing here to tell you, I know he's still warning America. So as long as you see me around, better believe he cares. Amen. The Lord does see. And then finally, he says, don't fear any of these things. Otherwise, literally, it means stop worrying. You will be tested. There will be things coming your way. But be faithful. So he says there in verse 10, be faithful. How long should you be faithful? He tells you, until death. Whoa. You want me to be faithful my whole life, right up to the end? That's right. I want you to be an overcomer. And then the last verse is, this for everybody, he who has ears, listen. He who overcomes, there's that word again, you will make it. You're going to 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 make it. You're an overcomer. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't deceive and give delusions to people. Be an overcomer. Don't run. If you can't look them in the eye and you have to fidget around, don't stop and look them in the eye and say, that's not true. Be honest with them. Don't be afraid of anybody. Be an overcomer. Your past, your childhood, your present, and what's coming. Overcomers. I think it's about 6 or 7 times he brings that term up in this book. So I will finish with these two verses for you. And I'd like you to look them and mark them in your Bible. And we'll look at Pergamos next Wednesday night. And I can ask if Holland would come back up, please. John chapter 11. Would you turn there? Underline it, this verse, in the person's Bible sitting on your right-hand side. Just reach over and say, let me mark it for you so you don't forget. Would you all stand? And we'll read this out loud together. Verse 25, chapter 11, John, and verse 26. 25 and 26. And I'm reading from the King James. You can read from, oh, it's the New King James, isn't it? Yeah, And you can read anything you have. We'll have the same thing. You ready? Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe it?
Yes.
I believe it. Okay, let me give you one last verse. Mark that, remember the person on your right. This one you're going to mark in the Bible and the person on your left. This is John 14, and I'd like to read it out loud with you. Verse 19. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also." Great promises. So what have we got to fear? Nothing at all. Who do we have to fear? Nobody. We walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The fullness of God dwelt bodily in Christ Jesus, and you are complete in Him. It's in God in whom we move and have our whole being. It's an experience with your Creator all day long. Not religious, reality. And the more time you spend with Him, the more time you become like Him. You with me? Because I want to take you all to heaven with me. Yeah? We're going to make it. We're not going to quit. We're not going to run. We're not going to fumble the ball. And if we do fumble the ball, one of us will help you pick it up, and we're going for the goal together, right? All right. So, Lord God, we want to thank you for this night. We want to thank you for your love and your presence. I thank you for these beautiful men and women that care. A lot of people don't care. They can't even hear. And I pray for them again. You have something special call on their lives. They aren't sure what it is yet. I think most of them are sure that the call to them is from you. They just don't know what it is you want them to do. But I'll be the first tonight to, Lord, say, use me. If you can use me, I want to be used, and I want to live the life that would make it possible to be used, to be more like you. And I'd like to pray while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please, just for a moment of holiness. If there's anyone that you're not sure, you're just not sure for whatever reason, it's not to intimidate or embarrass you, it's just an opportunity, you're not sure that your soul is saved and you'll go to heaven. For whatever reason, maybe you're really a wicked, bad person, but you want to believe. I want you to just look up at me and hold your hand up. I'll remember and pray for you. Is there anybody? You just don't have surety. Yes, sir. Anybody else? I just want you to go home with calmness in your heart, peace in your heart. Yes, sir, I see you. And yes, next to you, the two of you. Yes, sir. Thank you for being honest. We all that know the Lord want you to be at peace. There's no reason for you to be tormented another hour of being unsure. Lord, you've seen these four hands go up. And we pray for each one of those people that you'd forgive them their sins. I just want you to pray in your heart. You can pray anything you want. But basically, Lord, forgive me of my sins and give me eternal life that I could serve you. And let Jesus be my Lord. And give me a hunger for righteousness. Teach me to pray and to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Each letter that John wrote contains the admonishment, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." God is speaking to us through His Word and His Spirit. We need to be sure that we're listening and heeding what He's saying. If today's broadcast has caused you to realize that perhaps you need additional spiritual direction to help answer some of the questions you may have about a relationship with God, His Son Jesus Christ, and the call He has for your life, then may I direct you to our website. There you can click on the Know God link. You'll find insight and resources there to help you. The address is mikemackintosh.com, and from this site, you'll also be able to access a wide variety of audio teachings by Mike on practical and personal spiritual topics. Again, log in at mikemackintosh.com. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places it on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Be with us next time as Mike forges ahead through our study of Revelation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.